Imagine walking through the heart of downtown Portland, with the bustling streets lined with shops and cafes. You make your way to the iconic Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. The marquee lights twinkle above you, and you step into the grand lobby, greeted by the soft squeaks of your shoes on the marble floors and the faint hum of excited conversations. Welcome to the Oregon Symphony's Young People's Concert on ICANN Radio. My name is Deanna Tham, and I am the Associate Conductor of the Oregon Symphony. With me is Amir Avsker, who is a violinist, joining me on this broadcast. Hey, Amir, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. I play the piano and the violin. I go to Westview High School, and I play with the Metropolitan Youth Symphony. One thing I like to do outside is going hiking and looking for animals in the wilderness.
I'm so with you. Now it's time for our audience to take their seats in the concert hall. Notice the golden arches above the stage and the soft glow of the chandeliers. The room quiets as the orchestra members take their places. Today's concert theme is The Nature of Music.
That's right, Deanna. We're going to listen to symphony orchestras from all over the world playing music that was inspired by Mother Nature.
So, all life on Earth started with water. The first life on our planet started in the oceans, whether they be plants, animals, bacteria, you name it. In fact, as we explore other planets in the universe for signs of life, one of the first things we look for is whether the planet has water.
Wow, so it seems like water is pretty important for a nature-themed concert. Is there any music out there that was written about water?
Well, actually, the first piece that we're going to hear was written all about water. More specifically, a river called the Moldau that runs through the Czech Republic in Europe. This piece was written by Bedřich Smetana, who wrote this piece about different parts of his home in the Czech Republic. This piece depicts the path of the river, starting from a small trickling stream, moving through forests and meadows as it gets bigger, and turning into the majestic St. John's Rapids with fast-moving currents splashing over rocks and cliffs. The river finally flows past an old castle before disappearing into the distance.
As we listen, let's see if we can hear the small trickles in the woodwinds and high violins, moving to a more flowing melody, and finally the majestic rapids with the addition of brass and percussion.
This is the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Rafael Kubelik, performing Smetana's piece, The Moldau River.
Thank you. Ooh, I could really hear how the violin sounded like rushing water and the flutes were the flow of the river.
Water's a really important part of nature. And when people started living off the land, they would often need to find places near water sources to settle. This happened right here in Oregon.
First Nations tribes in the Pacific Northwest lived on the banks of the Columbia River beginning as long as 18,000 years ago. They did and still use the river to fish, gather, and celebrate. They consider the river to be a sacred source of life.
Local composer Nancy Ives wrote a piece all about this sacred relationship between the Pacific Northwest tribes and the Columbia River. It's a brand new composition called The Spirit of the Columbia, and it was premiered in 2024 by the Portland Youth Conservatory Orchestra, an ensemble of the Portland Youth Philharmonic Program.
One of the great things about this piece is all of the different sounds that Nancy Ives uses, especially in the percussion section. I wonder if we can count how many new sounds we hear in the piece as we listen to it.
This is the Portland Youth Conservatory Orchestra, conducted by Lawrence Johnson, playing an excerpt of Nancy Ives' piece, The Spirit of the Columbia. Because there's so much water on our planet, we get some interesting things happening in our atmosphere, resulting in different types of weather. Amir, what's your favorite kind of weather?
Well, I really like sitting inside on a rainy day and watching a thunderstorm.
Huh. Well, I suspect that Ludwig von Beethoven loved to do this as well. His sixth symphony is entitled Pastoral, which means describing the countryside. Now, in this symphony, Beethoven wrote about different aspects of the countryside, like rivers, forests, and harvest celebrations. Two of the movements we're about to hear describe a country dance, with people gathering to enjoy a fun time with friends and neighbors. But soon, the party is interrupted by a passing thunderstorm.
Rumbling in the cellos and basses will sound like the distant thunder as the storm approaches and gets louder and louder. Violins will play short, fast notes that sound like raindrops. Then the timpani, the big drum, and brass like trumpets, horns, and trombones will join as the storm gets stronger and the thunder is right on top of the village.
This is the Tokyo Metropolitan Symphony conducted by James DePriest, performing Beethoven's Symphony No. 6, Pastoral. We'll hear the third and fourth movements today, called Merry Gathering of Country Folk, followed by Thunderstorm.
Thank you.
That was Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. If you're just joining us, I'm the Associate Conductor of the Organ Symphony, Deanna Tham. You're listening to the Young People's Concert on the International Children's Arts Network. I'm with violinist Amir Avskar, and we've been exploring music inspired by the great outdoors. The symphony movement we just heard sounded like a thunderstorm. Mother Nature gifts us with other types of weather, too. My favorite weather is sitting inside with a mug of hot chocolate and watching a snowstorm. And then, when the snowstorm is over, going out to build a snowman.
Antonio Vivaldi was a Baroque composer, which means he was writing music back in the 1700s. He wrote a piece called The Four Seasons for solo violin and string orchestra. This type of piece, with a soloist playing with an orchestra, is called a concerto. In the winter portion of The Four Seasons, he depicts the cold flurries of a snowstorm.
Vivaldi also wrote poetry to go along with these concerti. The movement we're about to hear has a poem that goes like this. Frozen and trembling in the icy snow, in the severe blast of the horrible wind, as we run, we constantly stamp our feet, and our teeth chatter in the cold. Now we'll hear the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, conducted by John Constable, with Joshua Bell on the violin, playing the first movement from Winter from Vivaldi's piece, The Four Seasons. Nature is not just water and weather. Our planet is so unique because it sustains life as well. Just going outside, especially here in Oregon, we can see all sorts of plants and animals. I've got a big oak tree in my front yard, and sometimes I see coyotes and owls in my neighborhood. Nature's beauty can feel truly magical.
One composer who sought to capture the magic of nature through music was Maurice Ravel. He was a French composer from the early 1900s. He lived a quiet life in a country home outside of Paris, surrounded by trees and forests. One of his pieces, Mother Goose Suite, takes its inspiration from fairy tales. Today we'll hear a movement from the piece, called The Enchanted Garden, which depicts butterfly fairies fluttering about in the dawn, reminding the flowers to open their petals to the sun.
I wonder if Ravel's real garden resembled the enchanted garden that we'll hear about in this piece. This is the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Joanne Folletta, performing Ravel's Enchanted Garden from his Mother Goose Suite.
Thank you.
Trees and mammals and birds are all around us. But did you know that 80% of the animal life on Earth is actually insects?
Edward Elgar was an English composer in the late 1800s and early 1900s. He wrote a few movements in his Wand of Youth suite about animals, including insects. In this movement, entitled Moths and Butterflies, Elgar writes about, well, moths and butterflies.
When I think about moths and butterflies, I think about their light, fluttering wings and the gentle way they land on flowers and plants.
As we listen to Moths and Butterflies, let's think about which instruments and musical ideas help the piece sound like light, gentle wings. Does Elgar use high or low sounds? Does he use loud or soft dynamics? Here's the Ulsta Orchestra, conducted by Brendan Thompson, playing Elgar's Moths and Butterflies from his Wand of Youth Suite No. 2.
I heard high violins and woodwinds and soft dynamics, a perfect way to depict small, gentle animals. But there are bigger, heavier animals out in the world, too.
Elgar knew that, and another movement from his Wand of Youth suite is called the Wild Bears. Now, if high instruments and soft sounds were used to depict small, gentle animals, what kinds of instruments and sounds do we think we're going to hear in a piece that depicts a bigger, wilder animal?
Probably some louder and lower instruments. I'm looking forward to hearing more brass and percussion.
was The Wild Bears from Elgar's Wand of Youth Suite No. 2, as performed by the Ulsta Orchestra, conducted by Brendan Thompson. We're coming to the end of our Young People's Concert on iCan Radio, and there's just one more piece left to listen to. I thought it'd be nice to hear a piece about the majesty of nature and the beautiful landscape that it provides for life. Aaron Copland was an American composer during the 1900s. He wrote a piece called Appalachian Spring about life in the Appalachian Mountains on the east coast of the United States. In the finale of this piece, Copland sets an old melody that was sung by the people of the Shaker faith called Simple Gifts, which expresses gratitude for nature and life.
This last piece is composed in a form called Theme and Variations, where a melody is repeated using different instruments, textures, dynamics, and even tempos or speeds. When listening to a Theme and Variations piece, I like to call out any new instruments or changes I hear with each new variation.
This is the New York Philharmonic, conducted by Leonard Bernstein, playing Copland's Variations on a Shaker Melody from Appalachian Spring. Well, my friends, this is the end of our musical journey. Just like every story has a final chapter, every concert has its last note. The musicians lower their instruments, the stage quiets, and soon I will leave the stage. Let's take a moment to thank the musicians for their amazing performance. And give yourselves a big round of applause for being such wonderful listeners and explorers of music. Seeing a concert with the Oregon Symphony is like a shared adventure. Together, we've explored rivers, forests, thunderstorms, and even danced with bears. Now, as we prepare to exit the concert hall, remember that the magic of music doesn't end here. You can carry it with you. Sing a tune, clap a rhythm, or just close your eyes and remember the sounds that you heard today. And thanks, Amir, for helping me present this music.
Thanks for having me, Deanna.
Sarah Zwinklis was the producer of this program, with assistance provided by Stephen Joynson. Coordination and program support by Anissa Boulder, Oregon Symphony's Hank Swigert, Director of Education and Community Engagement. Thank you for joining me, Oregon Symphony Associate Conductor Deanna Tham, here on ICANN Radio for this special presentation of our Young People's Concert, The Nature of Music, recorded in ICANN's Moonflower Studio. If you're interested in hearing this concert live with the Oregon Symphony this February, you can learn more at www.orsymphony.org/ypc.
Today is ICANN's birthday. I'm Verilise from What If World, wishing ICANN the happiest.